Matt Kiefer, who is the first holder of the Dean Emanuel Endowed Chair at the National Farm Medicine Center in Marshfield, Wisconsin. He's also the director of the National Farm Medicine Center, and it's really great to have everyone on this panel. I've worked with many of these folks for years, and Matt's going to start us off on a presentation that's a trio, and then I'll follow as well, and Patricia Huada is talking about some work that's being done with agricultural workers in the dairy industry in Wisconsin.
I'm not going to present a lot of data that I've derived in the process of doing the work at Marshfield, Wisconsin. I'm going to share with you a little bit of pain. The story is about what happened when OSHA decided that they were going to begin to inspect dairies and what happened as a result. I'm the presenter. The following is not related to anything that I'm going to make money off at any time, consistent with my career to date. I'm going to talk to you about what happened when OSHA began to work in Dairyland and start paying attention to our area. Why did they do it? What did OSHA's actions reveal? And what problems are outstanding and yet still need to be resolved? My affiliation is the National Farm Medicine Center, and that's at the Marshfield Clinic in Marshfield, Wisconsin. This was partially funded by the NIOSH Upper Midwest Agricultural Safety and Health Center, one of NIOSH's centers, and it's in close affiliation with the Migrant Clinicians Network. The U.S. dairy industry is changing radically, and it's changed radically over the last few decades. The number of dairy farms is declining precipitously, but the size and productivity is increasing substantially. Half of the dairy farm labor now is immigrant, and 62% of our milk supply is in some way touched by immigrant labor in the process. If you look at the dairy industry, this is a slightly complex slide, but I'd have you focus on the 1 to 49 and the 1,000-plus herd size and pay attention to the colors of the bars. So in 1992, the predominant dairy structure was 1 to 49 cows. In 2006, the predominant dairy structure is 1,000-plus herd. There's just a very substantial increase in the number of large farms in dairy, and along with that, consistent with agriculture in history, but potentially even more so than the past, we're seeing that there's a lot of people being hurt in large dairy, in large animal agriculture. In Wisconsin, in 2011, a farm worker had a tenfold increased risk of dying at work as compared to the general industry, and one of our better bumper years in terms of agricultural deaths. Wisconsin, the America's Dairyland is the number two industry in Wisconsin is dairy. We're the number one cheese producer and the number two milk producer. California is ahead of us. We have about 1.2 million, almost 1.3 million cows, and about 70,000 individuals are working in dairy with about 12,500 hired workers. A lot of these are still family operations, and a lot of families still work on farms. The numbers that we see in terms of dairy contribution to the state economy varies from $26 billion here to as high as $59 billion in Wisconsin, and it depends on who you're talking to and what you're calling the contribution. In 1970, there were 60,000 dairy farms in Wisconsin. I was sitting in the National Agricultural Statistical Service office when the early reports of the National Agricultural Statistical Survey were being tabulated. Someone came into the office. I was sitting in the chief's office because we were discussing a possible project, and he announced, "We just broke 11,000. Dairy farms had just descended below 11,000 at the moment I was sitting at that office. They just finished the count. So you can imagine what a dramatic change there's been. And the fact is that we have more cows than we've ever had, and we produce more milk than we ever have in Wisconsin. But the number of farms has changed that radically. Here's another portrayal of the same thing. We had a dip in the 60s where both milk and production was down, but you can see the number of farms has dramatically decreased and the milk production is really at or slightly above where it has been in the past. So we've gone from what you see on the left here, a single individual milking maybe 50 cows, to rotary parlors that constantly move all day, milking cows four, possibly five times a day, constantly moving all day. The production of a cow is about 100 pounds of milk a day in Wisconsin. 100 pounds of milk a day is how much a cow produces. So there's a special relationship I want to point out between OSHA and Wisconsin. We developed OSHA. We were so in love with the idea of federal OSHA. We were so in love with the idea of OSHA that we refused to have a state OSHA program because we really liked the idea of federal OSHA. So we kept federal OSHA. And we're one of the only states in the Midwest with a federal OSHA system. In any case, we do have that special relationship with OSHA, which I only discovered when I came to Wisconsin, and the cockles of my heart were warmed. The other thing that's very interesting, because it's a federal system, and every state where there is a federal system will labor under the same restriction, is that you have to have at least 11 non-related employees in order for OSHA to have any jurisdiction over your operation in agriculture. So until you have 11 non-related employees, OSHA can't touch you. The only other thing that might bring you under the jurisdiction of OSHA is if you have an active labor camp of some sort, and then you actually fall immediately under their jurisdiction. Family members, as I said, are not counted, so if you're a family member of the owner, you're not counted as an employee. So what was the earthquake? The earthquake was that we had gotten to a point in Wisconsin that there were enough large operations, somewhere in the neighborhood of 200-plus operations, that had 11 or more employees, and as a result, combined with the information that we had about the number of injuries and deaths in agriculture, that it was time for OSHA to start looking at dairies in Wisconsin. And so, literally, tremors went through the dairy industry when this was announced. I arrived from the University of Washington and moved to Wisconsin in 2010, arrived there in August, and in the first week of September, OSHA made an announcement at a public meeting that I was invited to participate in that they were going to begin inspecting dairy operations. And the dairy industry in Wisconsin had absolutely no idea what to do about it. They had no idea how they could deal with it. They'd never worked with these regulations before. They'd never met OSHA people before, and they were very surprised and very afraid. Well, the announcement said that they were trying to do at least 12 operations per year, and they were going to focus on 12 key issues. And these are the key issues. The dairy dozen, as they've been identified by Progressive Farmer, I believe it was, manure storage facilities and collection structures, dairy bull behavior and cow behavior, electrical systems, skid steer. People know what a skid steer is. That's a bobcat. You've seen those bobcats, those very maneuverable little machines. They are employed everywhere in dairy. I mean, you move feed with them, you move manure with them, you don't push cows with them, but you do almost everything else with them. Guarding on power takeoffs, guarding on power transmission and functional components, hazardous energy, that's lockout, tagout, hazard communication, confined spaces, of which there are many in dairy and agriculture in general, and horizontal bunker silos, and I'll show you a picture of those in a second. Horizontal bunker silos, as traditionally we understand what a silo is this vertical column, this big concrete structure. Well, now, most of those, if you go out into Wisconsin, are actually empty. And they're not using them for storage of grain in most large operations. Instead, they put in a large concrete bunker and they fill it with feed. And those things actually remain unused in most places. In fact, one of the things that's keeping a lot of dairies alive and a lot of farms alive in Wisconsin is recreational agrotourism, as we call it. And the most innovative use of one of these silos that I heard to date is that somebody poured water over the side of it and making an ice climbing wall. The insurance companies that insure farms are very surprised when I talk about that. What did the National Farm Medicine Center do? We knew that the farm community in Wisconsin was scared to death about OSHA showing up. We created what we call agricultural safety consulting out of the National Farm Medicine Center to provide agricultural safety consulting operations and advice to farms so that they could be prepared and get up to speed know what they were going to face, and begin to change their workforce. We saw this as a great opportunity to really bring safety into the eyes of the farming community. We proposed to provide on-site inspections and recommendations. We did a safety walkthrough and record review. We would review OSHA reporting requirements and be sure they were up to speed on that. We were looking at specific workplace hazards, focusing on those dairy dozen, but also providing hearing tests and respiratory evaluations with referral to our occupational medicine program. And we're going to give support to farm workers on leadership and safety protocol design. These are the three people whom I've hired to be involved in agricultural safety consulting since I've started the program. And the first one is Tom Drendel, with the white sleeve on his jacket up there. Now, Tom was an agricultural extensionist for 30 years. He ran the agricultural extension farm just outside of Marshfield. And we trained him up with OSHA 10 and OSHA 30, and he began doing our consultation. And the reason we resorted to that or hired a guy like that was because we needed somebody who could talk to farmers. He left after a bit. I took him out of retirement. He went back to retirement, didn't want to continue to do the work. Well, he liked it, but he's a Civil War reenactor, and that's his true love, and that's what he spends most of his time doing now. So after he left, I hired Carol, and Carol was a wonderful woman who used to run the traffic safety activities for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. She had no agricultural experience as such, was just a safety person, but a very good one. Had been an OSHA inspector in Tennessee, actually, for some time, and was really got us off to a good start. She unfortunately had some personal issues that caused her to want to move out of the area, and so moved to another area. And then I hired Dennis down at the bottom, and Dennis was a loss control operator from one of the large insurance companies, and we trained him up in agriculture as we had with Carol, and we began doing consultations. So I hired an agriculturalist, and trained him in safety. I hired two safety people and trained him in agriculture. What's wrong with this picture? Well, let's first talk what they found. When they went out, this is the first nine agricultural safety consulting consultations, and I'll have you pay attention to the hazardous conditions and the percentage of farm that had those conditions in place or were identified by our safety consulting group. Virtually everyone had most of what was on that table, and obviously I could make a much larger table with all the other problems that we had, but I thought this was enough to talk about the kinds of things that I wanted to point out. It was virtually universal that there were safety issues at every farm we walked onto, and very little understanding of how to even deal with some of these things. The one of my points of this conversation is to talk about the pain that I suffered trying to find somebody to do the job that I needed done. I'm an occupational medicine physician and not a safety professional, and I'm running the National Farm Medicine Center. We had this service that needed to be done, and the farmers really needed it. I tried to find somebody who knew agriculture and safety and virtually could not find anyone who had both. I looked around to see where are the training programs. I could find three. Two of them were established. One of them was just coming on board with a new program in agricultural safety training. This is places that gave degrees that combined agriculture and safety. In the major agricultural schools, Purdue, Indiana, and Penn State, they do have safety programs, but they're just electives for the agriculturalists if they choose to go through them. But we don't have the capability to produce safety people who know agriculture in our country right now in any large scale. I point out that the people who leave the University of Iowa generally go into academia and teach and do research. They don't end up in the field, and they're not people that I can hire. As a result, I was always creating a little bit of a Frankenstein, trying to combine pieces of skill set to get the kind of person that I needed to do what we needed to do. That said, there are multiple hazards in agriculture that defy solutions at this point or are very close to defying solutions. This is an electrical panel in a dairy. It's probably been modified 15 times since it was first installed. It's constantly being modified. Half the time it's open. We're lucky to see that the covers are even on here. This is one of the better pictures I could find. But electrical systems, because of the expansions in dairy, are constantly being modified and generally modified in a dangerous way. On the right side over here, you see a dairy manure pit. Now, that manure pit is unguarded. As you can see, there's no fence around it. There's just that concrete barrier around it. You can fall into it. In fact, we've had two deaths in the last 4 years of people who drove skid steers into the manure pond and drowned. Lovely way to go. The other problem that we have is hydrogen sulfide, which is produced in manure pits. And when manure pits are turned over, the anaerobic environment is exposed and hydrogen sulfide is released. Heavier than air, it'll sink down to a lower point. And if you go down into that space, that lower space, you can actually be poisoned by hydrogen sulfide, and those deaths have resulted, numerous of those deaths have resulted. Now, this is one of those bunker silos I talked about. This may be 20 feet high of feed, and in order to expose it, you have to actually pull the tarp back, remove those tires along the edge, and pull the tarp, which covers it back. At the present time, there is no existing fall restraint system that is available for bunker silos, which completely populate the Midwest. Now, the biggest problem is this little cutie here. Cows are the biggest problems in terms of getting injured on farms. Working around large animals is the biggest problem you've got. And cows are the ones most responsible. It's hard to believe that a cute little girl like that could do the kind of damage that they can do. But they really are quite dangerous. They weigh about 3 to 4 times as much as we do, and they've got their own agenda most of the time. And her boyfriends, they're the most dangerous ones of all. There are many fewer, but they are a lot more dangerous. Dairy bulls are some of the most dangerous animals in the United States today, and people are routinely killed by them. So, these are the experiences that I've had in terms of going through trying to develop a safety program, and I want to open the conversation about what we need in terms of education and agricultural safety and health, and I would like to make a plea to some of the places that do health and safety training to start considering including some agricultural health and safety training as well. And I leave you with Allison Dairyland. This is a unique institution in Wisconsin. We actually elect an Allison Dairyland every year. And this is our new Allison Dairyland. I met her at the AgriBility Advisory Board meeting a couple days ago. And they're lovely ladies who go around and promote agriculture and specifically dairy throughout Wisconsin and throughout the United States. She's a true dairy queen. Thank you very much for your attention.